welcome to this week's sermon from C3 Church Narara. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Chris Brown. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
All right, have a seat. Thanks, guys. You know, we were running through the healing series this month, and I said we'd be finishing up today, but I'm going to postpone that for a couple of weeks. Next Sunday, we're blessed to have Byron, who by that stage, as of tomorrow, will enter a new level of maturity in his life. Be another, it's just a significant number that he'll be becoming, turning 50, right, tomorrow. So he's preaching next Sunday, and then the Sunday after, sorry? Tuesday. All right, soon. And so Sunday week, I'll share on healing and have an altar call, especially for people who need prayer for healing in their body. We had some great teaching and preaching. You can get the podcast, listen, especially Kate Forsyth, who was it just last week? Yeah, brilliant. So, but I want to reflect just briefly on the who, what, and why we are celebrating. Because firstly, well, I've mentioned this. We celebrate God our Father, perfect Father in heaven. Chris did a great job of sharing over communion and just the wonder of being included into his family and chosen and having a sense of identity as a child of God. And we celebrate Jesus. We give thanks to him today for his love, his grace, his forgiveness, and of course the Holy Spirit that he sends to be our counselor, our comforter, our guide, our source of empowerment in life. But we're also thankful for the unique, amazing, living thing called the church that we are called into, the family of God, or as the Bible describes us, the body of Christ. Jesus is the head and all of us make up different parts, and how different we are. God loves to get people from a wide variety of backgrounds and skill sets and personality types, and he joins us all together so that we actually combine and function in unity just like a healthy body does. And there's a famous Bible passage that unpacks that thought more. So let's look at that, 1 Corinthians 12. I'm going to read verse 12, and you may have heard this. It says, "The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ." And then if you go to verse 14, it says, yeah, the body's got many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, oh, I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand, that doesn't make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body was an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. And he goes on, and if you go jumping down to verse 24, it says, God has put the body together so that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. So everybody is honored and given dignity in the body of Christ. This, verse 25, this makes for harmony among the members so that all the members care for each other. And if one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. Verse 27, all of you, how many? All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Each of us is a part of the body of Christ. Every single one of it, one of us. Isn't it great when your body is working together? All the parts work together well. Like you feel fit, healthy, and strong because all the systems are functioning and coordinating so that you can move and eat and think and talk and do all the things that you have to do in life. Here's a question. How many systems does your body have? It's not seven. I read up on this. It's 11. That's several more than I was aware of. One's even called the integumentary system. There. And if you don't know what that is, you can ask someone medical. afterwards and shout them a coffee, and that's the skin one. You can find out how many of the 11 that you know. So when all your systems are working well together, life is great. It's not just more enjoyable, it's more productive, which is part of the reason we focused on healing for a month, because you want to be fit for life to serve God, and it feels better than being sickly and painful as well. Now, speaking of productivity, in the 90s, an American biologist named William Muir conducted some research about productivity, and he got two groups of chickens for his experiment. He had a control group, and they were average egg-producing flock of 9 chickens. And then he left them alone for 6 generations. And in the second group, he selected 9 super chickens. Actually, he might not have started with 9. He may have ended up with nine, but anyway, he had 2 groups. He had the normal chickens, but he had these super chickens, which were high achievers. They were the highest egg producers, and he separated them from the riffraff, from the others, and he bred them also for 6 generations. Then the most productive egg-laying groups was surprisingly not the super chicken flock, but the average chicken group. The average chickens were plump, healthy, and producing plenty of eggs. The super chicken group egg productivity had plummeted, and there were only 3 chickens left alive because they had murdered the others. So when the super chickens were mixed with regular chickens, they had survived by bullying other chickens, hoarding the most food and water for themselves, and being selfish. And that selfish behaviour wasn't enough to hinder productivity in a bigger group, because they were just in the minority. It's like bullies in school and then pitting them all together or whatever. But when they were made the majority, their greed, their selfishness, their ambition led to murder and generational decline. So the results prove that even for chickens, a cooperative environment is better than a competitive one. And a commentator on this experiment wrote this: "This dynamic has been discovered in the workplace. Many people in business have heard about this study and thought, that's my company. They've realised that the reason they're working in such a toxic environment is because in the interests of increased productivity, employees have been pushed to compete. And when you only rely on the super successful people, their ambition actually kills each other off, and you end up with less productivity than having people of different skills and abilities all working together." Isn't that fascinating? You'd think, get all these superstars, the salesmen who've got the best, you know, or the top engineers, or and you put them all together, and then they just kill each other. And so this is often seen in the sporting arena. You know, the best team isn't necessarily full of star players. They just often have a great coach, a great team spirit, and a great sense that everybody has a vital part to play. I remember sitting with my Russian friend years ago, visiting and ministering in Russia, and it was the Winter Olympics, and I don't remember which one, but it was some time ago, and he had been an expert ice skater. And, of course, all Russians in St. Petersburg skate like we ride push bikes. And he was a really good ice skater, and he loved, like a lot of Russians, loved ice hockey. And the Russian team, he was lamenting the fact that they were not very good at the Olympics. And yet, it was a team full of star players. Every single player on the Russian team, he pointed out to me, was the star player in the team that they played for in America or Canada. But when he put them together, they all had their own game and expected to be the star. And he's like, oh, we are the best players in the world and we lose because they hadn't learned to play as a team. And there was too much ego involved. And they're all used to being the guy that scores the goal and all that. And so this is the beauty of the church. The body of Christ calls us all together regardless of our gift level, whether you're a superstar or not, wherever your character's at, your personality type, your skill set, different kinds of people fulfilling different roles, just like a healthy body. All the parts, all the bits of the body are important, not just the prominent ones, like that scripture refers to, not just those with strong leadership skills or brilliant, noticeable music skills, or we've all got a part to play, and we're better together, and we're best when we're taking directions from the head of the body, when we're receiving instruction and inspiration from the Lord Jesus. And earlier in 1 Corinthians, there's a scripture that says, we have the mind of Christ. This is Paul, the great apostle. And if anyone could say, I don't need you, I don't need you, I'm a brilliant guy. I was a Pharisee, top of the class, really, and then I had this personal encounter with the Lord Jesus. I'm a super apostle. I'm going to write 2/3 of the New Testament, make way. It's me, you know. And yet he says, not I have the mind of Christ, we have the mind of Christ. In other words, it's us together. And we together can best access the mind of Christ, his thoughts, his ideas, his plans, his vision for his church. So it's not I, but we. And we can get on the same page, as they say. We can be in unity when we're walking with love, grace, humility, connecting with others, and then collectively connecting with the Lord. Not striving to get our own way like the super chickens, because that's the way of the world. The world says anywhere you go, whether it's in your family, in your business, or in your church, it's all about you. And the Lord, when he speaks to us and gets in our heart, it's like, actually, you want to become like a little child. You want to be humble. You want to be like John the Baptist, who said he must increase while I decrease. And so this is the opposite of our natural base ego self, but we walk with Jesus and we temper that and are converted continually. I like that song they were singing, I've been born again and again and again and again and again at one point. And it's true. We need to keep getting born again. Lord, we are transformed increasingly by the renewing of our mind. One last scripture on this. Look, Ephesians 4, verse 1. And he says, Paul's writing, he says, I'm a prisoner for serving the Lord, and I beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. So this is talking about this higher level of living. Don't just be like a selfish super chicken. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. So it's not that you work well together because everyone's perfect. Quite the opposite. The closer you are to people, the more you realize their imperfections. Just get married, you know, have kids, you know, the close relationships, like, you know, you're aware of people's faults, but we make allowance because of love. Verse 3, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Isn't that awesome? And that's every one of us making that commitment to say, yes, I will be a person of peace. I will conduct myself in a way that will bring peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you've been called to one glorious hope for the future. One body. And we are the body of Christ. Isn't that awesome? So let's continue in unity, continue to be thankful, continue to be grateful for each other, and most of all, grateful to the Lord. Amen? Praise the Lord. 1 minute past 11:30. I've failed. Just be glad I had a wonderful, which as I said, I'll bring the message on healing in a couple of weeks. Come on, close your eyes for one moment in prayer, one more time. We love you, Lord. We look to you in our heart. You know, before we go today, the most important thing in life is that you have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. He's made that possible by coming to earth, dying on the cross, becoming a sacrifice for our sin. If you've never given your life to God, if you've never had that moment of commitment, then you can do that today, of a simple prayer of consecration, of commitment of your life into God's hands. Or maybe it's a recommitment that you need to make, and I would love to pray with you and for you after the service. You can just come and see me if you need to do that. You need to get right with God. You want to say, yes, Lord, come and be Lord of my life. You've done it on your own, but you realize God's way is best, and I need Jesus to forgive me for my wrongdoing, my sin, He cleanses us on the inside. He leads us along in the best path he's got for us. Single best decision you can ever make, to say yes to Jesus becoming your Lord. Thank you, Lord. Every life here today touched, we celebrate you. We leave with great gratitude, and we want to carry that spirit of hope and light and gratitude into the world. Help us to be buoyant in our spirit because of what you've done, regardless of circumstances. We love you. We thank you. Touch every life. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's sermon. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.